Trophy Universe is a massively multiplayer online virtual world with a real cash economy and gameplay. So in the true tradition of a virtual world, there's only one instance of Entropy Universe, so you're in the same world as everybody from all over the world. We have people from over 220 different countries in the world, and people regularly make friends with people on other continents and go visit them and sleep on their couch, and I've even met people doing this who've gotten married because of out of Entropy, so that part's pretty cool. And kind of unlike a virtual world, we have gameplay elements, right? So that part's pretty, that makes it a really cool combination of the two. So you're a human inhabitant of the first human habitable planet beyond Earth called Calypso. There are vast mineral resources that you can go mining. There are all kinds of scary monsters you can go hunting and loot. You can be a trader, you can trade the raw materials, you can be a crafter, craft things from the raw materials, you can even be a beautician. We have a makeup system and a plastic surgery system and a hair styling system. And in fact,
people would come to you and pay you to give them a makeover.
Exactly. In fact, that guy over there used to be a policeman. I'm the only employee here. Everybody else is a player that's just here because, like we said, we'll get your hotel, we'll cover your meals and stuff if you want to come down. So we get inundated with requests. So these are the guys that we chose. He used to be a policeman in the real world, and he was a hairdresser for a while in Entropia. And he thought, it was fun and all that, but then he got kind of tired of doing that. He wanted to go back to hunting. So he said, well, I'm going to sell my hairdressing equipment. Sold it for $1,800,
wow,
which is way more than he paid for it. Because in the intervening time, people who really loved that had come in and gotten really good at it. And so, bingo, his hairdressing station went for a lot of money. So, there's all kinds of professions that are built into the game like that. And then, because it's a real cash economy, and when I say that, we're the only people in the world who actually have a real cash economy. We back our virtual currency with U.S. dollars. So no one else does that. So knowing that, people feel comfortable playing and spending big sums of money in the game because they know they can always get it back out. So makes the game a lot more fun too, So, so because you can be rewarded for anything you do in the game by another player or other players who like it, people come up with their own niches and then fill them all the time. So, one sort of easy, blatant example is, someone who's good at hunting will tell someone who's good at mining, hey, listen, if you want to go mining in these infested areas with these big monsters, I'll cover you and you give me a little bit of what you make mining. Say you're a newbie and you don't have any skills or anything, you can go be a decoy for a hunter, and dying is free.
Right.
It's a little inconvenient, but it's free. So you can just go out and be a decoy for a hunter till you get killed, and then the hunter will give you a little bit of money for doing that. And meanwhile, they're not taking the damage on their armor, and they can kill the animal easier because it's chasing you.
Right.
So that all kinds of different things like that.
What are some of the other ways that people earn money? Like, what do other people do? What systems do you have that encourage that? Like, what's the technology built?
Okay, cool. It's a great question. It's a really deep question.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different angles on that answer. The first thing that I'll say is you can come into Entropy at any level of any combination of time or money. If you got more time than money, you would come in, and if you wanted to make some money, you could run around and find dung and pick up dung and sell it to the landowners who need it to fertilize their land. There's a few other options like that, but that's the basic idea. And it's a hard life, but if you have more time than money, it's really fun. You can still make friends and run around and all that kind of stuff. You can come in with any combination of time or money. If you don't have money and you got a lot more time, then you can pick up dung and sell it to the landowners. They need it to fertilize their land, and there's other options like that. At the absolute other end of the spectrum, you can put in as much money as you want via the transfer center just using a credit card or any of a bunch of different methods. We've got a guy who is a top officer at one of the top three banks in the world, and he's way more money than time.
Right.
So he puts in $50,000 in a month and doesn't even think about it, right? He's just that's why he wants the best armor, he wants some chip in some skills, and then he wants to go hunting the big animals with the Ubers in Entropia, and so, and he can afford to, so bingo, right? And anywhere in between, like, I think a lot of people look at it and say, well, if this were a subscription thing, I'd be putting in $20 a month, let's say. So I'm going to give myself that limit and do as best as I can with $20, right? And anything in between. So that's one answer to the question. Now, the economy in Entropia is built in from, like, the ground level up in terms of the software and the interactions and stuff. So we have great social networking capabilities. There's great, you know, chat functions, society functions, hunting with other people, you know, loot distribution, all that kind of stuff is built in. And the way that Entropia runs, the way MindArk runs Entropia, is that they want to encourage an economy that's robust and that's moving. So if you want to make something in the world, you need to get the blueprint. Now, you may, the low-level blueprints you can buy from the trade terminal, but the other ones you're probably going to get looting an animal or mining or something, right? So you get a blueprint doing that or from someone who's gotten it, and then the blueprint lists all of the raw materials that you need to make that. So you got to go buy all those raw materials from other people that are mining them or hunting them. Some people are mining end matter, some people are mining minerals, so you're going to have to talk to a bunch of different people potentially to get those components.
So that's sort of a quest in and of itself, to come out of the game.
Exactly. And that keeps the economy going, right? Because now you're going to go buy these raw materials from those guys, then you put them together with the blueprint into a manufacturing machine, and out pops whatever you were making. Now, here's the other thing. Every avatar has over 200 different parameters that it gains skills on as you do things. Some are more general, like just awareness or, you know, whatever. And others are much more specific to things like manufacturing or hunting, even hunting with different kinds of weapons, right? So as you get more skilled at manufacturing, what you manufacture comes out in better and better condition. Like, you may manufacture something early on that comes out and it's the item, but it's already mostly used. You know what I mean?
Right. It just breaks after a little while.
Exactly. Okay. So whereas if you're really, really skilled, you'll pop one out and it's 100% and bingo, right?
Right.
So, you know, so that plays into it too. So all those things come together to make the economy roll and keep everybody involved and playing and excited. And I think that's one thing that's really cool about the fact that it's a virtual item based model as opposed to a subscription based model, because in a subscription model your best customer arguably is the one who pays you every month and never comes into the game,
right? Yeah.
But how fun is that for everybody else?
Right.
Like, there's the one guy who logs in all by himself going, well, this is fun,
right,
you know.
Right.
Company's making money, but you know, there's not as many people in the game. So with an item based thing, our best customer is somebody who's in the game, actively doing stuff, having fun, providing value not only to themselves but to the whole community, right? So I think that's pretty cool. I think that's very good for players.
I think that's good for any kind of massive online world to actually draw upon, you know, players to make the experience different. I think that's really good. So what's the actual gameplay like, that, you know, the game portion of it all as opposed to, like, the economic portion of it all?
Yeah, well, I mean, the economics is very tightly wound up with the gameplay, because everything you do in the game has an economic consequence. So let's say that you go out to hunt monsters and you use your teleport chip. That takes a little mind essence. Now, that costs you just a little bit. You know, we've got nano transactions going on in the game. So as you do everything and anything you do, that's being, you know, recorded, and like that little bit of mind essence is now gone. And as you get hit by a monster on your armor, little teeny bits of your armor are wearing out, and pretty soon your armor will be worn out if you're, like, really fighting. So all those things are being tracked, and so everything you do has an economic consequence. So now let's say you've gone out way into the wilderness using your mind force to teleport out there. You've been taking on this animal. You've been fighting it for a while. You've shot a lot of bullets or laser, weapons, and your gun's worn out a little bit because you're shooting it so much, and your armor's worn down a little bit because it's taking those hits, and then the animal kills you. Gets a critical hit, and bingo, you're done, right? Now, you end up back at the revival terminal miles away. So now arguably that mind force was wasted, those bullets were wasted, that damage was wasted, right? You didn't get to loot that animal. You got to run all the way back out there, and by the time you get back out there, the animal's healed, right? So everything has an economic consequence. Now, the good news is you can run around in the planet. It's free to die. You can run around and talk to people. You know, you can trade player to player with no tax on that or no part taken. If you want to use the auction, there's some, you know, you pay the auction a little bit. But the player to player trades are totally free. And the cool thing is, because of the real cash economy, number one, it's all secure. We're licensed like a bank, very similarly to a bank in Sweden. So we've got the bulletproof glass and the multiple door entry and, you know, and the regulation that goes along with it. So, you know, we're complying with all that stuff. And in the game, security is built in. So, like, let's say that was a voice recorder was in the game. Well, as we're standing here talking, I could click on that and I could look at it and I could get a little description of it. I could see how much it's worth to the trade terminal. And then I could also see a stock chart of how much that's actually worth in the game. So it may only be worth $250 into the trade terminal if you want to sell it back to MindArt. But other people, because it's a rare item, they're willing to pay, you know, $250 for it. So you wouldn't want to sell it back to MindArt. You might want to put it in the auction or ask around if some of your friends need it.
Or, you know what I mean? You see me and you offer me, like, hey, I need one of those.
Yeah, right, exactly. Jeez. I see it selling in the auction for $250. You know, I'll give you $260. I really need it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But I can't take it from you. I can get all that information and stuff. I can't take it from you unless you agree to a trade, right? So when you agree to a trade and I agree to a trade, all right, hey, bingo. You get the money that I'm offering. I get the thing that you've sold to me. And, you know, you could give it to me. You could sell it to me for free. But I can't run off with it unless you willingly give it to me. And that kind of brings up about the only crime that actually goes on in Entropia, which is the gorgeous avatar who says, hey, big boy, nice gun. If you give it to me, I could upgrade it for you if you just let me borrow it for a minute, right? And, oh, okay, you're pretty, you know. And then, zing, the avatar's gone with your gun and never to be found.
That happens in real life, too, though.
Exactly.
So, you know,
I mean, if you're dumb in the real world, then you're probably dumb in the other world, too, right?
Right. So looking at the game here, like if I had to pinhole it into like a category of the gameplay, does it sort of look like a first-person shooter? Is that like,
well,
a lot of...
that's the aspect that you're seeing right now, because that's what we're demoing.
Uh-huh.
There's there's a lot of social aspects, like you can get together with people. There's the asteroid has a disco, and your avatar can dance, and you have a lot of different emotions, and there's a lot of chat functionality, social networking functionality. We're just showing this aspect of it because it's what people, it's the most interesting visually. But you can back out and you can be in third person mode, and you can even hunt and do all kinds of things in third person mode too.
Okay.
And unlike a first person shooter like on the Xbox, it's not as much about your thumbs, you know. There's even an auto aim feature. It's more about your avatar's skills and the particular weapon you're using and the particular thing you're shooting at, right? So if you have this kind of weapon, it might be more effective on a robot than it is on this kind of animal. And if you have skills with this kind of weapon but you're using that kind of weapon, then you're not going to do nearly as much damage, even though this is a very powerful gun. It won't get up to top damage because you don't know how to use it yet, right? So all those things come together as you're doing this, as they do with mining equipment and beauty equipment and all that kind of stuff. So.
Right. When you're doing the fighting, is that mainly just, you know, you're going after creatures, like you need something from them, or are there other times that you get into fights?
Well, most people are out there hunting the creatures either because they've chased you because you ran through and got too close and they're just after you, or you're actually out there hunting them because they drop loot.
Right.
So that's what most people are really up to, is out hunting, looking for the loot. And then there are areas where you can go in and play player versus player.
Okay.
So there are some areas you have to mean to go in there. You have to do it on purpose.
Right.
But if you go into the player versus player areas where you can loot people, then you can't loot them for everything. You can't take their gun and their armor. But if they've been in there hunting or mining and they've gotten some recent loots and you kill them, then you can take those recent loots. Or if they've been killing other people but you happen to be able to kill them, you can take what they've got. So that's, and people love that, because I mean, people do like playing with other people, because people are just smarter than machines.
It gives it another like way to play too.
Yeah, exactly.
You get tired of one thing, you can go off and do another.
Yeah, I'm not a big PvP person. I do mostly mining and hunting. But there are people who just exclusively play in PvP. They just love it, you know. And that's the cool thing about Entropia Universe. Trophy Universe are very consciously focused on diversity. So I've never heard that from another developer of a virtual world before, and I think it's really brilliant.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because, like, in the physical world, a diverse ecosystem is stronger and more beautiful and more drought-resistant. Well, I think it's the same thing here, you know. That's why, I mean, you should ask him to tell you his sad story about how he thought he was done with Entropia and sold most of his stuff and shipped out most of his skills, and then a little while later, other games in the genre weren't cutting it, and he came back, and now it's like all that stuff's so much more expensive, and he doesn't have his skills, and he's like, oh, what did I do? You know, but we hear that story a lot because people just love Entropia because it really is that diverse. There's so many things you can do. You're not stuck. You know, if you're a magician and you want to pick up an axe, you can't because you're a magician, right? But in Entropia, if you're a hunter and you want to be a miner, well, you may not have the same skills. Some of your general skills will transfer, but you just have to start at the beginning as a miner.
Right.
Okay. You can still pick up the mining equipment. You know what I mean? You're not stuck being anything. You can do anything you want. So
let's say you're a completely new player, logging in for the very first time. What are some of the things that you can do, like, right off the bat, and is it, you know, what's geared towards helping new players into it?
It's a really good question. The first thing I would do as a new player is I'd go to entropiaforum.com, and I'd read a little bit about, like, there's some new guides there for new players. That's what I'd really do first, is go to Entropia Forum and check that stuff out. And then you come in, you're in kind of some faded out orange jumpsuit, and you don't have anything, and it's free to die, though, so you can just run around, talk to people, run around, check stuff out. You know, you don't have all the teleporters on your map yet, so one thing people do is they'll just go for teleporter runs. You just run around the world until you're close to a teleporter, and then bingo, you get it on your map. Now you can teleport there from another teleporter.
So that gives you an exploration aspect, too, right off the bat, too.
Exactly, yeah. So, and then, you know, you'll see someone run by in shadow armor, and you'll click on it and find out, or somebody else will say, I'm not worthy, and you'll ask them why. They'll say, that armor's, you know, that's thousands of dollars worth of armor.
Right.
And the gun he was carrying is worth $15,000 by itself, you know. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, wow. So, you know, at the beginning, I'd run around and get teleporters, and I'd just die a lot and figure out what was, you know, what were strong animals and not so strong, and figure out if I thought I wanted to hunt or mine or do something else entirely, make some friends. Because, again, the social aspect of Entropia is really strong,
right.
And it makes a big difference. If you've got friends, you're just going to do better, you know. So you could even join a society that's accepting newbies and, you know, work together with some new people in the world and help each other out. There are also societies that'll take in newbies and mentor them. There's a mentoring system. So people actually get rewarded by MindArt for mentoring new people. So, you know, find somebody that you trust and that you like and then let them be your mentor. That's another good way to go. So, and, you know, Entropia Forum is a great place to start because it's all just kind of laid out.
Yep, that's good. So, what kind of things are being done as far as adding in more content to the game by the developers?
Yeah, thank you very much for asking that question, because we are currently implementing, well, every 6 weeks or so, we have a new version update. So, you know, things are constantly changing and being updated that way. But we're right now in the midst of implementing the CryEngine 2. Have you seen Crysis yet? So that engine is going to be implemented in here. And, you know, it's scalable, so it won't look as good on a low-end machine as a high-end machine. But on the high-end machines, it's going to look cinema quality in here. So we are making vast improvements to the look of it now. And when that gets implemented, it'll just be, I mean, factors above anything else in the realm. And then as soon as that gets implemented, very soon thereafter, we'll see planets showing up. Because we've got planet partners now that are not MindArt. They're people that have licensed the technology from us, the platform, if you will. So we're kind of creating our own metaverse. When the first planet goes up, space actually will open up. So now you'll have space to play around in. You'll have a new planet to be on. New people will be coming in through their marketing efforts, which will be different than the people that we're getting now. So you're just going to have a lot of fertility in the world. And then, you know, more planets after that. So we're pretty excited about that. And that's the big focus now. Like, everything's focused on the CryEngine and then implementing these new planets. So, cool.
I think that's all the questions I have.
All right, cool. And, I mean, mean, just something else to know, kind of as a, just underlying things that people want to know. There's no gambling. There's no pornography. We're licensed similarly to a bank in Sweden, which I said already. We're definitely complying with all the regulations in terms of not laundering terrorist money or all that people get, you know, crazy about when it comes to a real cash economy. And, you know, the guys that are making money in the game now, like Never Die, did you guys know about the asteroid and the $100,000? That might be one final thing to cap out with.
Okay.
We're in the Guinness Book of World Records twice for the most valuable virtual item ever sold.
Oh, wow.
The first one was a guy named Death of Fire in Australia who bought an island that we put in the auction system for like a dollar. The bid went up to almost $27,000 and he bought it. Had investors, had a business case to do this, made his money back in a year, and now he makes $300 a day, just, you know, checks in for a couple hours, plays around, you know, does what he needs to do. And then about a year later, we put an asteroid in, had a nightclub and, you know, similar things, shopping centers and that. It got bid up and bought out for $100,000 by a guy named John Never Die Jacobs, who mortgaged his house in Florida to do it. Made his money back in 8 months and has been cash flow positive ever since, to the point where he turns down offers of $1 million or more regularly for the asteroid.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing that comes out of a real cash economy. We have banks in there loaning, making real world loans against virtual items. So your $20,000 gun, you can, you know, put that in the vault at the bank and they'll give you a loan of $10,000 US to go do something else with. You know? So it's really, really interesting. And it's, you know, most people don't know. If people know about us, they're usually playing. You know what I mean? So we're at that point where I think you're going to see a lot more talk about us when the Cry Engine's implemented. So it's a pretty exciting time to check out Entropy Universe, because there's just going to be a flood of people coming in soon. And it's nice to be ahead of that.
Right.
So.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Yep.